On Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like a Russian punching glove smashing through the greasy head of an Italian fighter. You can make your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call on that debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And this is our Thursday night broadcast where we have the heavyweight of all red pillars, the red pill heavyweight champion of the globe.
I must break you.
Also hosted the Red Pill Punch Bowl on Friday nights, William Rapilla. Wilhelm! Welcome to the show.
This is Robot Dog. This is Robot Dog. I'm here to try to find Vladimir Strakovsky, who escaped from KGB jail 2 weeks ago. I was dispatched by one Paul Aldomir. I can't pronounce his last name. This does not compute. A malfunction.
Holy, oh, what is going on? What is, Jeremy, excuse me, I got some weird looking computer apparatus, dog looking yellow thing in my kitchen. Dude, I don't know. What, dude, okay, you gotta call for help, okay? I don't know what to do. Oh, man, this thing's like, what is it doing? Excuse me, hold on a second. Get out of here. Sit.
Is there...
Sit. Good. He's actually... Okay, I think I disabled it. There's a button on the back of it. I heard about that. Have you heard of the robot dog before, Jeremy?
I don't know. Is it some kind of AI? Did we get attacked by artificial intelligence? Is Skynet becoming self-aware?
Well, I knew this was coming. And if I overheard, I just came in from the front. I just got home, so I'm really glad. I mean, in a sense, I'm sort of glad that. I mean, what just happened? Did robot dog? Were you talking to it?
No, man, it just broke into the broadcast. It's that AI stuff that Elon Musk was talking about. We should pause that. We should pause AI until we know, like, you know, if it's going to be friendly to humans.
Well, I agree. I haven't quarantined this thing sitting in my kitchen, just pushed the button. I have no idea if it's going to turn back on or anything. So I'm kind of nervous right now. It might start biting my ankles.
I see. That AI is bad stuff. It's bad news, man. Stay away from that. We don't want that.
Down! Get down, robot dog! Down! Down now! Sit! Okay, yeah. I just pushed the button on the back of it again. I reached my hand around there and managed to disable it again. Anyway, I'm sorry for that distraction. It's pretty annoying.
Yeah, Well, so William, so we got the Thursday night show. You and I had a couple of similar prep items here. I think one of them was this 25-year sentence for a Texas veteran who shot a BLM protester. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to open up with that one?
Yeah, sure. Let's read it. Hang on a second. Yep. Well, you know, I had sent you the after-school Satan clubs gained popularity, but I read that yesterday on the National Intel Report.
Yeah.
There's another one is the LGB community divorcing the LGBT, they're divorcing the TQ.
Well,
TQP.
There's yeah,
people
we're,
in the LGB, the sort of, you know, just simply gay or bisexual people that are horrified by the child trannyism, the exposure of children to sexual depravity.
They're horrified. Yeah, wink, wink. I mean, we're led to believe that there's some people in the LGB something movement that don't want to, you know, victimize children, but I don't believe that for a minute. I think that's all of their goals eventually. Well, you know, in some of the original gay parades in the 80s, they had NAMBLA, the North American Boy Love thing, you know, in their parades. It's always been a motive of the homos to try and attack children. That's they can play a good game and say that they want to divorce themselves, but I'm not believing it.
Yeah. You may be right, Jeremy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think I'm right.
Yeah, it's a perverse lifestyle. So, you know, I don't know where the line is drawn. It's kind of like abortion. You know, where does it become murder? Right?
Yeah.
I had a conversation with somebody. It's like, who are you to decide that you can just, well, if it's in the first trimester and, well, okay, so still, who are you to make that decision? Yeah, okay, it's fine if it's in the first trimester. I mean, yeah, okay, fine. That's a lot better than killing the baby right after it gets out of the womb, like they're proposing to do. But
yeah, I mean,
on another subject or anything. But
yeah, that's. I mean, you know, for that, as far as that goes, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court never defined human life. They simply made a ruling on when you can legally terminate that right, not be prosecuted.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not biologists or physicians. They had no right to do that, so there's that. But hey, let's get to these articles because
okay.
we got two different ones here about the Texas Army sergeant that shot the BLM guy. We got another one of Daniel Penny choking a black that was out of control in the subway. Both of these cases are pretty much telling us that you cannot defend yourselves. We as white people, if we defend ourselves against the, you know, the blacks that are unleashed upon us, we'll be prosecuted. That's kind of what both of these things are saying. But let's go with the first one, the 25-year sentence guy.
Okay. Army sergeant who fatally shot BLM protester in Texas sentenced to 25 years as governor seeks pardon. Governor seeks pardon. What governor? Really? Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. No, yeah, governor seeks pardon. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's
cripple.
Governor Greg Abbott seeking a pardon for him. Good for him. Okay, hopefully he means it. Texas protest shooting. Daniel Perry leaves the courtroom where he was sentenced to 25 years for the murder of Garrett Foster at the Blackwell Thurman Criminal Justice Center in Austin, Texas, on Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. That's just 2 days ago. One day, that's just yesterday. One day ago. Perry was convicted of murder in April for killing Foster during a Black Lives... Killing Foster, was it? Okay. During a Black Lives Matter protest in July 2020. Okay.
Austin, Texas, a U.S. Army sergeant who fatally shot an armed protester at a Black Lives Matter march in Texas was sentenced to 25 years in prison Wednesday after prosecutors used his social media history and text messages to portray him as a racist who may commit violence again.
So this to be taken in conjunction with the very most recent Mexican white supremacist Texas shooter that allegedly read the Daily Stormer and, you know, checked all the boxes for things that they would call white supremacy, even though he's a Mexican, he's brown. You know, all of this in conjunction with that. So supposedly, I mean, Perry had a legit self-defense against this BLM protester because the BLM protester was armed. And then, you know, the governor Abbott said he would seek a pardon. But then all of a sudden they dig up all of these texts and online posts, supposedly that Perry had racist images and posts. And so now they're trying to pressure the governor into taking back his pardon, I think is what I'm reading here in this. Well, because the guy's racist. Check this out, William. Look how they totally throw us off of the issue. Here's the issue. This is what a jury should be looking at. I don't care what the guy posted. I don't care if Perry posted Adolf Hitler in gas chambers. And you know, it doesn't matter. What matters is, did he act in self-defense? Right? Was he acting in self-defense? Did he kill another human being in self-defense? Was that legitimate? It doesn't matter what he posted. You see what they're doing? So the message being sent here is, even if this man was legit self-defense and had every right to fire his weapon, it's all irrelevant if he had racist posts in his social media. You see what they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're guilty by association. It doesn't matter what your crime was. If they consider you, call you a racist, any inkling that you've defended or that you don't want to be wiped out, your race doesn't want to be wiped out. So they just say it, you know, it doesn't even matter what they found. They may not have even found anything. They just come out and just say these things. Just like they invent this thing about this Mexican guy being a white supremacist. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the propaganda has reached the point of a fever pitch of clown show to the max degree. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. They keep shrieking. They what they call the shriek-o-meter keeps it's like full tilt and a busting off of you know, it's like you ever watch Bugs Bunny cartoons and you see the you see that the giant thermometer blow up and the shriek-o-meter is blowing up now.
Well, let's bring this to a another example or a scenario. So you or I, either one of us, you or I, let's say we're attacked or we witness somebody being attacked by a bunch of robbers or thugs that happen to be black and it looks like they're going to kill someone or they're going to kill us. And we, you know, defend ourselves with deadly force. Clear-cut self-defense. All right. That's the scenario. But if they go back on RBN or on our social media and they say, well, look at these guys, they, you know, or look at this guy that defended himself against these blacks. He made all these posts about Jewish power and how, you know, black crime statistics, 13 to 50, that type of thing. Even though we may have a clear-cut self-defense case, they could pull stuff up from our past that we posted and use that to say, well, their motivation was racial and they killed these people just because of the hue of their skin. It doesn't matter if they have a clear-cut self-defense case. That's what's happening here. That's what's being built into the legal system. That's the scenario that's being built here. A precedent.
Yes. You said it all, Jeremy. There's nothing I can add to that.
Yeah. You know, it's very similar, and not that I'm a Trump fan at all, but you remember when Trump did the what they called the Muslim ban, where he banned, immigration from seven particular Muslim countries that he deemed was dangerous. And a couple of federal judges did a national injunction. Why? Because their whole objection was that his thoughts were racist, like his intentions were racist. So, like, basically, the president has every right to do what Trump did with the executive order, to ban immigration from certain countries that he feels are a national threat to the country. But because they thought his intentions were racist, through a national injunction, they blocked every bit of that. And it, went to the Supreme Court, and it was hung up for months and months and months. That's sort of the same thing here. They're looking at your intentions. If your intentions are racist, it doesn't matter whether you have a clear-cut case or not, whether you're in the right. They're going to look at everything you posted, everything you've ever said in a public forum or online. That's the thing.
Yeah. And then, they'll starve you. They'll cut off your platform for you to defend yourself as well. So, a lot of us think, hey, yeah, go ahead, expose what I'm saying. I'm going to make you look stupid, because once I expose what you're doing, you're going to look like the fool you are. But they'll also cut off your platform. I haven't been a Trump fan for quite some time. But he's been kind of coming back into the foray. I watched a video by Vince James today, the latest one that he did, if you go on his channel. Kind of interesting. Let's see, it's 10 seconds. Okay. Yeah, Trump did an interview with some CNN reporter, and the title of it is Trump Destroys CNN Reporter. Absolutely destroys CNN Reporter. Well, so remember the Trump that was campaigning before? It was candidate Trump, and he was being Trump. He wasn't really being a politician. They were pointing this out. He was answering questions the way Trump would answer questions when he was doing his campaigning before. Now, I look at this with one eye open. Obviously, this is his shtick, his angle. But they were very impressed with how he was answering the questions and how he didn't let this CNN reporter, it's just so, you watch these women that are the CNN reporters, really kind of filling the role of women destroying the country, because they're absolutely on the side of the Jewish oligarchs. You just wish that somebody would, like Trump or somebody would come out and say, but not the whole rest of the world is not ready for it yet. When is everybody going to be ready to hear about the Jews and the Jewish power? See, that's up to us. We're like the little guys out there talking, to having one-on-one conversations. I really feel like it's making a big impact, because I'm able to talk to more and more people about Jewish power. I feel more emboldened to do it. I talked to, today I had a couple of conversations. I talked to a guy on the phone, and he just went silent. Like, I told him it was Jewish power and everything. Somebody who works in the finance industry, and it was just like, he's like, oh, it's all over my head. I was like, well, okay. Well, now it's not. You just got red-pilled. And then later, I talked actually to a black man, and very left-leaning, but also not left-leaning, is more of classical liberal, who's like wondering what the heck happened to his party. And I told him about the Jews. It was awesome. So
let's. I think we're on the break right now. We're coming up on the break. Yeah, we're on the break. Let's pick this up on the other side, and we'll cover Daniel Penny that choked out a black chimpanzee out on the subway. Back on the other side.
The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. And how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get. And you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Show on your Thursday night broadcast. So in relation to this one article we covered about the sergeant in Texas shooting a BLM protester and facing 25 years, we also have Daniel Penny, a Marine veteran, who allegedly choked a subway rider named Jordan Neely, a black man. And this Jordan Neely was famous, for doing Michael Jackson impersonations on the subway. This dude chimped out and started hurting people, and so Daniel Penny put him in a chokehold, and the dude died. The black dude died on an F train in Manhattan, and so Penny is arrested on a charge of manslaughter, second degree.
Now, is this also in Texas?
No, this is in Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just to make clear, Daniel Perry was in Texas. He was the sergeant that shot a BLM an armed BLM protester in self-defense, and he's being charged. And now Daniel Penny is a Marine veteran in Manhattan who was riding the subway, and this black chipped out, and Penny put him in a chokehold and brought him down to the ground just to hold him, not to keep him from hurting anyone, and the black man died. So now they're prosecuting him for second-degree manslaughter.
Jeremy, I'm going to go back and read some stuff about Reconstruction. and bring that back into the fold, because I think it's important to put that context, and it would be a really good red pill for people.
We are in sort of a modern day reconstruction, are we not, where sort of black criminals are allowed to just do whatever, and if you defend yourself as a white man, you're prosecuted.
Yeah, I'm going to draw the correlation, because I'm just learning about reconstruction myself.
Yeah,
it's really amazing to see the parallels that are happening. It's just the Jewish oligarchs again. It's like it was with the North.
So this Neely was the black man that was put in the chokehold. He was homeless, and witnesses reported that he was harassing passengers on the train, threatening. And he is the Marine veteran that subdued this black individual in a chokehold. So this is, you know, this is smacking of George Floyd, right? Black is subdued and dies in a state of subduction, I guess.
How dare this guy not learn from George Floyd? That you can't, Floyd. You have to just let blacks commit crimes and, you know, just take it. And
even the Yahoo,
no problem, you know, you just gotta let them do it.
Even the Yahoo News article, the Yahoo article admits that Neely, black man, had a documented history of violent and erratic behavior, a result of ongoing untreated mental illness. It doesn't tell us if Neely was on any kind of drugs, but I'm sure there probably were, as is the MO of these black homeless men. They're just racked with drugs. Neely, the black man, was aggressively threatening Daniel Penny, the Marine veteran, and the other passengers. Daniel, with the help of others, acted to protect themselves until help arrived. It says that Daniel never intended to harm Mr. Neely, and could not have foreseen the untimely death of Neely. And there's video of all of this. Marine veteran Penny is just holding Neely in the chokehold for 3 minutes. So I guess Neely just passed out and died. I mean, you know, you got to be on some kind of drugs for your heart to just stop. I've been held in many chokeholds. I'm in martial arts. You are too, William. You know, if you're a healthy person, you know, you can withstand a lot. And for your heart to just stop or collapse or whatever, or for you to die in a chokehold, I mean.
Yeah, you're high. You're on drugs. You've been on drugs for a while. You're not in good health. You're absolutely right.
Of course, they'll try to make the case that the Marine veteran was choking off his air or something. No, that's it's going to be hard to prove from the video. It looks like a submissive hold, but you know, they'll definitely try to prosecute this guy with the fullest extent of the law and make an example and try to just chalk up another white extremist who killed a person of color because of the hue of their skin. That's going to be the takeaway.
So, Jeremy, I want to bring it back into history, and I've been reading about Reconstruction in The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo, and I read a page a little earlier called Monopoly Government, and I don't know how much time we have, right, what I can get through. Maybe when we get back, because I think we're right up against the break again. Yeah,
it's right here on us. Yeah, back on the other side, along with your call, it's 512-248. 8252, taking your calls live on your Thursday night drive.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Have to listen to that whole song, even though it's like the peak of the whole week. We can always go back and put that song on later, some more. Okay, so what I was going to get into here was a little excerpt out of Thomas DiLorenzo's book, Real Lincoln. I'm drawing the correlation between what the Jews are doing how the Jews are using are keeping black slavery alive right now by deploying blacks as a weapon against whites, just like they were with the slave trade. That was exactly what they did then too.
But also, what they also did was, after the Civil War, which was, you know, the South standing up against, you know, trying to use the Constitution to defend the rights and freedoms of the people, which was the reality of the situation, had nothing to do with slavery. The real slavery was the Jewish oligarchs dominated the slave trade, brought them over to all areas of the country. It was just that the economy was different in the South than in the North, so there was more manual type of labor, so it just, people gravitated. Blacks gravitated towards cotton picking, and it just naturally fell into where it looked like there was slavery in the South and not in the North. They created this dialectic. So this book is about the real Lincoln, and let me just... most of what you know about, I'm reading the back real quick. Most of what you know about Abraham Lincoln is false. And the real Lincoln, author Thomas DiLorenzo, uncovers the side of our 16th president not told in history books and overshadowed by the immense Lincoln legend. And as DiLorenzo reveals, the myths surrounding Lincoln obscure the true origins of the Civil War. So Thomas DiLorenzo is a professor of economics at the Selinger School of Business and Management, Loyola College in Maryland. Okay, so I'm going to read this excerpt here. This is what happened. Monopoly government. Once the Republican Party established itself as a political monopolist during Reconstruction, it immediately went to work expanding all the planks of the old Whig platform. And the interesting thing is how the Republican Party actually started out as a supporter of Marx and Marxism, and then you had neoconservative come out of the Bolshevism era, and you had the father of neoconservative, Irving Kristol, who was actually a Trotskyite, and Trotsky being, you know, Bolshevik Russia. We think of that as more left, communism. So it's just a real mind twist, isn't it? So don't get offended if we're talking about the Republican Party. We're not talking about you, those of you who are Republicans now. This has nothing to do with what you represent. You know, you're trying to look for freedom for the people, and you would believe the same things we do. So once the Republican Party established itself as a political monopolist during Reconstruction, it immediately went to work expanding all the planks of the old Whig platform. It is important to recall that protectionist tariffs and corporate subsidies were outlawed by the Confederate Constitution, and that it was a Southerner, Andrew Jackson of Tennessee, who abolished the Bank of the United States and temporarily put an end to central banking. And Michael King, the guy I interviewed last night, he wrote a great book about Andrew, called Andrew the Great, Andrew Jackson, and goes into this. With the Confederate Army out of the way and virtually no one making principled constitutional arguments against such vast expansions of state power, the Republicans began creating a highly centralized mercantilist state that they hoped would keep them in power indefinitely. Now, we see the Democrats doing the same thing now, right? They were also imperialists in the tradition of the party's political inspiration, Henry Clay. By the middle of 1865, Ulysses S. Grant was itching to invade Mexico. Just 1 month after General Lee surrendered Appomattox, Grant sent General Philip Sheridan to Texas with orders to, quote, assemble a large force on the Rio Grande for a possible invasion of Mexico to expel the French from that country. The planned invasion never materialized. Now, this gets into... the Indians, you know how you talk to some folks and they're like, you try to defend white people and they go, well, you know, white people came here and genocided the Indians. And it's like, well, okay, wait, let's jump into that a little bit here. This jumps into that a little bit here. This dissects that argument a little bit here. The U.S. government next began antagonizing the British, who had traded with the Confederate government during the war, led by Massachusetts Senator Charles Sumner. The government began demanding reparations for the damage to the Union that such trade supposedly caused. The first thing that came to my mind was, who's demanding reparations now? The Jews want to make you think blacks are demanding reparations right now. They're not. It's the Jews. They want reparations because the Jews are trying to fill their coffers. The Jews are the ones who are going to fill, they are going to take all those reparations. Blacks aren't going to get anything. Jews hate blacks. Okay? For the damn, they just use them in order to promote their Jewish agenda. for the damage to the Union, which is a satanic agenda. Okay, it's an anti-human agenda. It's an anti-logos agenda. It's an anti-God agenda. Supposedly, okay. On July 26, 1866, Congress modified the neutrality laws to permit warships and military expeditions to be fitted out against friendly powers such as England. Several bands of Irish Americans with the implicit approval of the U.S. government invaded Canada but were quickly driven back, further antagonizing the British. It is fortunate that a third war with England was averted. President Grant proposed the annexation of Santo Domingo, another expansionist venture that ultimately failed. Before being elected president and while still commander of the U.S. Army, Grant gave General Sherman the assignment. Now this gets into the Indian thing. In July of 1865, of conducting a campaign of ethnic genocide against the Plains Indians to make way for the government-subsidized railroads. We are not going to let a few thriving ragged Indians check and stop the progress of the railroads, Sherman wrote to Grant in 1866. We must act with vindictive earnestness against the Sioux, even to their extermination, men, women, and children. The eradication of the Plains Indians was yet another subsidy to the railroad industry, albeit an indirect one. Rather than paying for rights of way across Indian lands in James J. Hill's non-subsidized Grant Northern Railroad the government-subsidized Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroads got the government to either kill or place on reservations every last Indian by 1890. So, there you go. One more paragraph. Sherman instructed his army that during an assault on an Indian village, the soldiers cannot pause to distinguish between male and female or even discriminate as to age. As long as resistance is made, death must be meted out. As Sheridan biographer John Marzalek wrote, Sherman viewed Indians as he viewed recalcitrant Southerners during the war and newly freed people after, resistors to the legitimate forces of an orderly society. There you go, folks. So you can correlate the Southerners, what happened to the Southerners, with what happened to the Indians. Because it was the same forces that destroyed them both. Boom.
Good points. Hey, we got a caller on. You want to take this caller, Daryl in Canada?
Yeah. Hey guys, yeah, good information there. Yeah, whenever the comment comes that we took the Indians' land, and there's plenty of that up here in Canada. They failed to talk about the history of the world, basically in the last 10,000 years. You can watch a video on YouTube. It's about 10 minutes long, and it's kind of a color map of the whole world, the way it's all transformed, of how different races and different countries and movements took over other countries and other races and what have you. And it's just an incredible amount. Incredible amount. This is just a small little sliver of North America taken from the so-called natives that are Asians who came across 14,000 years ago. Well, that's a whole other story. That story you were talking about, Jeremy, you put it in so well about the Texas guard, the guy that shot, what was he, a guard? I don't know what he was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he shot that that guy during the BLM riots, and it reminded me of a story that about Jeffrey Dahmer, of all people, after he was convicted. Well, he actually pled guilty. He was in many interviews, and there was one interview, and he was talking in a calm, concise way about how he murdered and cannibalized and necrophilia, all these men. But then one interviewer asked him, do you think you might be racist because everybody that you killed and did all these things to was of color? And of all the things, I mean, that he started salivating. He started going, like, red-faced, sweaty. I mean, how dare you? You can accuse me of everything under the sun, which is fine. I just admitted to it. But how dare you call me a racist? That's worse than a mass murderer. I mean, he's a bit of a Nostradamus. This was like 25 or 30 years ago. He didn't realize what was going on possibly in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, call him anything but racist. That's yeah. William, you got to take on it.
Interesting. That's a really interesting take there. I mean, even before you got to that, I was loving your analysis there, Daniel. Daryl. Sorry. I'm sorry, buddy.
Daryl. Right. Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's very brave to bring Jeffrey Dahmer into that. You think, the psychopathy that is driven into us manifests itself in some people, right? There, and maybe did so at earlier times. It got to make you wonder what Jeffrey Dahmer knew. What did he know? Definitely not making an excuse for psychopathic behavior. But it's interesting how the psychopath is the calm one, the calm, collected one. And it's really creepy the way the psychopath operates. I've seen psychopaths, they can be very calm and collected, and they can gaslight you like you wouldn't believe. And then make you think that you're crazy, or project their behavior onto you, and make you think that their behavior is you. I've seen this happen, and it's absolutely it's hard to describe, because if you get to know somebody like this, or if you get somehow intertwined with somebody like this, it can wreck you. It can really wreck you as a person. If you're in a relationship with somebody like this, right? Get in an intimate relationship. There's women out there that are like this. You see this narcissism narrative going all over the place. That's really diabolical, because I keep coming across on YouTube these videos that pop up that say things like how to torture a narcissist. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not the solution. This is not how you break out of the cycle, or how to, it's just on and on and on with these videos. And I could see how people just go down the rabbit hole and it goes nowhere, because it's not grounded in anything. They never define what this is. Anybody could be a narcissist. All of these traits that they describe on there, it's the greatest. I think it's the greatest antithesis to God I've ever seen in my life, to be honest. It takes good people and can just completely just screw with their minds in a way that is. I can't even describe it. Anyway, I didn't mean to go down the rabbit hole on that, but it was just interesting that you brought up Jeffrey Dahmer. Let me kick it back to you guys.
Right, yeah. Well, as far as serial killers, yeah, a lot of them are, no matter how crazy and the deeds that they did, they do have that interesting personality, no doubt about it. And I would say the number one most interesting personality of those would be Theodore Robert Bundy. There's a lot of interesting stuff about him and a lot of stuff on the internet about that. I'll also say, just to get back to what I was saying there and what Jeremy said, I'm actually myself, I'm kind of like a white woman, in the sense of, if I'm walking down the street and I see, a bunch of black guys or native guys up here, whatever, and I think there's a possibility that I may have to defend myself or something, I'll cross the street, I'll get out of the way. And if necessary, I'll run away. Not because I don't have to. I've got a bit of a background in martial arts myself, like you guys. But considering if I ever got into a scrap with some of these guys and, knock one of them out and hit their head and he died or something like that, they'd come and check my social media or my phone records, who I'm phoning, my internet, and all of a sudden, something just pure unadulterated self-defense turns into a, that I was out there looking to kill some minority or something like that. They're just looking, it's like the FBI and the CIA, they're trying to create, manufacture white supremacists and white supremacist crime. Well, you don't think that they would try that with something like me or anybody? I would suggest, you're better off to run. You're better off to run away. And this is going to happen exponentially in the future, because if there is a future, we're not nuked by in the next year or two. But with all these Aztec Indians coming in from the south, and the blacks know that, they'll be the Hispanics know that, you know, that every break in the book is going to be given to them, and any white person involved is going to get the book thrown at them, type of thing. It's almost like a reverse of the Jim Crow situation in the 60s, 50s, 60s. I'm running, like, I'm getting off the sidewalk. But I don't need to be asked. I'm getting off the sidewalk because I do not want to take a chance on them seeing, you know, some very innocuous things that I do. I'm not out there trying to hurt anybody, but they'll certainly make that into a mountain and a molehill.
No. Yeah, it comes down to, like, whites cannot defend themselves. That's the
narrative
fitting forward. Whether you're talking about Daniel Penny or Daniel Perry,
right.
Both acted in reasonable self-defense measures. But because their intentions were judged to be racist, it doesn't matter, you know, whether they acted in defense or not. It's their intentions. You intended on causing harm to someone because of their race. That's what they're painting. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I remember talking to my grandfather before he died a few years ago. He can't believe what he's the transformation of the world that he has seen right now. And he didn't even live through the BLM and all that stuff. He'd be just, his neck would be sore from shaking his head all day. This is what he grew up into. I mean, he's very disappointed. He was, I remember he was so disappointed on how he's a World War II veteran, of how this world has gone and what he did for the country, up here and anyway, in Canada and the U.S., of course. But what has happened since then? It's just a nightmare of proportions we could never believe. Okay, guys, great show. Thank you very much.
Wait, Daryl.
Oh, go ahead.
So you know your nothing against your grandfather. His intention was to fight for freedom and what he believed was right. But what he actually did in World War II, and this is a reality we have to face, is he helped communism along. And I hate to say he did that, because he didn't really do that. He just went and fought a war that he thought his country was supposed to fight and did the brave thing. This is the tragedy of the whole thing, because World War II was the greatest tragedy of human history. Hitler and the Germans were trying to stop this from happening, what was happening from happening. Now, you know that, though, right?
Oh, I can't disagree one at all. I mean, totally. But, you know, I got to be careful what I say. I live in a semi-totalitarian country, so I can't mention anything about anything too serious. Totally true. I mean, they say what was the second half of the 20th century was the century of the Jews or something to that effect. So that's another group that obviously benefited from my grandfather and all the rest of them. If they only knew, and he said this on more than one occasion, if he only knew what was happening,
yeah.
You think that he would have crossed the English Channel? There would have been a rebellion. So that puts
Absolutely.
It into perspective, just like you said.
Yeah, just like Patton, General Patton said.
Oh, yeah.
If we would have known what was going on, we would have gotten on and fought on the side of the Germans and defeated the communists.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in July 1945, he said that famous statement, we fought the wrong enemy.
Fought the wrong enemy. That's absolutely right. And
he was
we were already controlled
later.
By the Jews then. And now look at us. Now look at us. Because we defeated Hitler and the Germans in World War II, now this is what's happening now. And it's really important for folks to understand that the Holocaust is a lie, and not only a lie, but a truth inversion of what the Jews actually, the Holocaust of the Germans, the Holocaust of the Russians. I love saying this because it's the truth. The Jews committed all of the Holocaust of the whole world, pretty much. Every Holocaust that's ever been committed, I'm going to go ahead and say 99% of them have been committed by Jews. Name one Holocaust that wasn't committed by Jews. Bring it on.
Buddy. Well, we have child trainingism and homo marriage and endless wars overseas, and our economy is collapsing, but at least we don't speak German.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Okay.
I would hate to have to learn German.
Hey, great call, Daryl.
Oh, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for calling in.
Great show. Thank you.
All right. Well, we got just a few minutes. William, what's on the agenda for the Red Pill show on your, on Friday night, the Punch Bowl?
I don't know. Tomorrow, yeah. I'm not sure what's going on. I just got to wing it. So just hang tight. It'll be something incredible. That's the only thing I can promise you. So tune in tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And, can you hang on for a second?
Okay, yeah, no, second. That's...
Hold on a second.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, it helps me out a lot for you to take that Friday night slot, be working the way that I do. My social life tends to outpour on Friday nights, and that's the go out. William's getting on to somebody. I don't know. I think he's getting on to his dog. Yeah, and then, you know, V has taken another job. So after this show, the 10 p.m. Central slot, we play the greatest hits of John Statmiller. And if you want to get some retro RBN, John Stat type material, it's a great time to tune in after this show at 10 p.m. Central. So please do that. And like I said, William takes Friday nights in my slot. Much appreciated. You know, these hosts burn out. You listeners may not understand it, but it's very hard to do this every day. It's hard to do it even once a week. You know, we lost Farron recently. He just had a lot of personal things going on. But Farron put in a great show every Saturday for 2 hours. Farron's show.
Robot's dog sits now.
I was just talking, like, Farron Shulf's slot is taken over by Stephen Douglas Whitener, Thought Crimes, and Stephen is a great new voice on RBN. Please tune into that. Give him your support. I know you're used to Farron. I know you want to hear Farron's voice every Saturday, but give Stephen a chance. He's a great presenter. He does a lot of great content and has a lot of great guests. He does a lot of stuff with Mike Gaddy. So I was just plugging Steven's show.
Good boy, Robot Dog. You sit down.
So we got Robot Dog trying to take over the end of the show.
Jeremy, Vladimir Strakovsky speaking. How are you? I've loosened up quite a bit now.
Yeah, you got to get off that.
Robot Dog.
You got to get off that vodka, man. You got to get on gin.
I don't drink, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Whatever, dude. I'm not buying it. Hey, we're at the end of the show. Tune in tomorrow night for the Red Pill Punch Bowl. RBN.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.